You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Kent, just a quick heads up on the issue of election maps in Wisconsin. WPR continues to put out episodes of our podcast, WPR Reports Mapped Out. The latest episode is available at WPR.org/mappedout. Now, Lake Michigan's water levels have fluctuated for the past century, but for people who live and work along the shoreline, they are seeing the most dramatic shifts in their lifetimes. It's a trend that climate experts tie to climate change. As Wisconsin Watch's Mario Coran reports, that threatens property along the shoreline and poses major challenges for local governments, private homeowners, and even state parks.
Waves are crashing under the shore of Door County's Whitefish Dunes State Park. They're carrying fine sand that wind stacks into towering dunes. Wind and water have sculpted this landscape, but those same forces are whittling away at it. In high water years, waves erode dunes and swallow the beach.
The kind of sand we have here is super, super fine, so it blows in really well when the dunes are forming, but it also washes away really easily.
That's park manager Sarah Stepanek.
So we get one bad storm and you can have an incredible difference from even just a week before.
On a windy morning in late September, she surveyed damage from recent years' high water. Lake Michigan swelled by more than 6 feet from a record low in 2013 to a record high last year. The water is lower now, but still higher than average. Scientists say rising temperatures and more frequent storms could be driving the fluctuations. These two factors create a tug-of-war between precipitation and evaporation. That leads to giant shifts. Low water usually leaves about 100 yards of beach for walking and sunbathing at Whitefish Dunes. Stepanek says last year's high water left just 10 to 20 feet of beach, while the pandemic had visitors flocking to state parks.
Last year was insane, though. We had almost double what our typical visitation is. And then our beach was about half as wide as it is now, which it's not very wide now even. So to pack all those people on the beach was a challenge.
Storms and high water inflicted other damage too.
Down on our third beach access, the dune was undermined so severely that it literally was like a 15-foot drop off of the side of the dune down to the beach. We had to install a staircase there twice because the first time we installed it, about 5 days later, we had a big storm and it completely undermined the staircase. It was hanging 5 feet off the ground. So we had to install it a second time.
Other lakeshore parks face similar challenges. The wheelchair accessible ramp to the water at Point Beach State Forest in Manitowoc County is still mangled and useless 3 years after a winter storm knocked it out.
You have to remember it's Mother Nature, and you never know what to expect.
Park supervisor Aaron Dembski-Rodriguez says she requested repairs soon after the ramp was damaged, but that funding moves slowly when it's available at all. DNR's regional parks manager Michael Burgum says the repairs backlog at state parks dramatically eclipses available funds.
There's literally close to almost $1 billion worth of projects that have not yet been funded within the capital development system.
A recent Wisconsin Policy Forum report called Wisconsin parks woefully underfunded. Only Alabama spends less per resident on state park operations. But even with unlimited funding, it's not clear whether certain fixes are worthwhile. Fortifying the shoreline could limit erosion, but Burgum says they're also trying to preserve nature as it is.
We want to provide activities and facilities for our guests, but we also want to have a sense of conservatorship to conserve a lot of the resource. And that's a constant battle. So to me, the shoreline issue is analogous to that. How much do we try to do to preserve the shoreline, and how much do we understand that that's part of the process that occurs?
Stepanek says the trick is to keep the park accessible even when water levels make that difficult. That might include ditching a fixed dock for one that floats and letting nature take its course elsewhere in the park.
We do want to figure out how to make it more usable even in years when, you know, the lake isn't agreeing with us.
Climate scientists say that if current trends continue, the lake is likely to only become less agreeable. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Mario Coran.
And this story was produced in collaboration with Wisconsin Watch. Now we're talking with mayors from all over Wisconsin. Our next stop is Dodgeville, county seat for Iowa County and part of the Madison Metropolitan Statistical Area. Dodgeville has just shy of 5,000 residents. Do you live there? What questions do you have for your mayor? Do you work at Land's End? What do you think of the relationship the company has with Dodgeville? 800-642-1234. Todd Novak has been Dodgeville's mayor since 2012, represents the city and its surrounding counties of Iowa and Lafayette in the state assembly, a dual role he has held since 2015. Mayor Novak, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, good to be here. Glad to talk to you.
Good morning. So Iowa County, where you are, has had more than 3,100 confirmed COVID cases, more than 3,200 residents with confirmed or probable cases. How has the pandemic and this disease affected Dodgeville?
It's affected us as it has in many areas of the rest of the state. The shutdowns were very hard when it first started in the beginning, I have several restaurants. As you know, also, we're a very big tourist area in southwest Wisconsin. It's a huge economic driver in Dodgeville and the surrounding areas, so that had an effect on that. Also, we have Upland Hills Health, which is a great hospital located in Dodgeville. And so, at first when everything was going on, I think they were a little overwhelmed, and now they seem to be doing good, handling everything on back to full speed. So it's just something that you need to be cautious of. I'm vaccinated. I just urge people to be vaccinated, and hopefully we can get rid of this at some point.
What aid is Dodgeville receiving from the federal government, and how are you putting it to use?
We have received about, or had not totally yet, we're expected to receive about $493,000. There are some things that we will be doing. Part of what we're going to be using on our EMS service, Dodgeville has a very large, we have 3 ambulances, 42 member crew, mostly volunteer crew. We have are transitioning to a full-time ambulance crew. So that's some of the money will go towards that. We have an average of 1,000 calls a year for EMS. So we're also looking at some infrastructure spending. And we really have not sat down and put pen to paper yet of kind of what we're going to do with it right now. We're just use it as a discretionary fund when we need it for COVID-related expenses or other expenses that pop up.
Are you worried about using it for ongoing costs? I mean, when I look at a full-time ambulance crew, that is more than a one-off, one-year thing.
We were able to, through budgeting through the years, we've actually built up a healthy balance in our ambulance account, so we'll be able to do that because we've been planning to do this for 4 or 5 years. So we've been budgeting very close to the vest, and we'll be able to sustain that. I'm fortunate, Dodgeville. Our ambulance service actually runs in the black. Many ambulance services, especially in rural Wisconsin, don't. And so I'm very fortunate in that aspect.
Moving on to the business community, Dodgeville, of course, home to the headquarters for Land's End Clothing Company, employs thousands in your area. What is it like for the city to be really dominated by one large employer?
Well, we've had our ups and downs. Land's End is about 15% of Dodgeville's tax base. Mm-hmm. We had the founder of Land's End, Gary Comer, the city of Dodgeville, and Gary Comer had a very unique relationship, and he was very good to the community. For example, he built the city swimming pool, the Gary Comer Pool, gave tens of thousands of dollars a year back to the community through the United Way or various different organizations. When Land's End got sold years ago, that relationship kind of changed, and Land's End went from a more hometown type business to a corporate business. So Dodgeville and Land's End had a few years of rocky relationships. However, that has been repaired, and they have a new CEO, Jerome Griffiths, and him and I actually become really good friends. We talk to each other usually every quarter, every couple of months, just keep each other updated. I think that, we understand how important they are to Dodgeville, and he understands how important Dodgeville and the surrounding areas to him as far as workforce.
That's what I'm curious about. What are those communication channels like between the company and local government, and what comes up in your conversations?
You know, I can't go into specifics. You know, we have a very, we've developed friendship too, but, you know, he lets me know any important news, you know, a couple times during some down periods up there, they had to, lay off people. He called me immediately before it was even announced to the public or the employees, actually, what was going on, to give me a heads up, how many people. Immediately after, like for example, the COVID, when COVID hit and the shutdown and everything, he immediately called me up and gave me their plan, keeping people work from home, their workforce, what they were doing. So we have that kind of communication. The communication is really good. Or if I've got anything going on in Dodgeville, I will let him know. For example, Quick Trip was looking to add on to their store, and Land's End owned land next to where they were looking. And I just made one call to Land's End and said, hey, just so you know, Quick Trip's looking. And they just cut the ribbon cutting in a couple weeks ago. So so that's kind of how I do things. So
Relationships. Land's End third quarter fiscal results, as you know, came out earlier this month, and it reported lower than expected third quarter revenue. And just like other retailers, really struggling with supply chain challenges. How closely and concerned do you watch the fiscal health of your company's largest, your community's largest employer?
I watch it close. However, I've been through the ups and downs with that company, and so I have full faith in their success. And I think actually they're projected to do probably better this season than what you think, from what I'm hearing. So I think they're going to have a good Christmas. You know, a lot of their business is between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And but yes, your supply chain is not affecting just Land's End; it's affecting almost every business in my city. So it's a huge problem.
Dodgeville Mayor Todd Novak with us explaining the issues he is taking on in his city in the heart of southwestern Wisconsin's uplands. How do you want Dodgeville to use pandemic relief aid? Have you struggled to find housing in Dodgeville? We'll talk about that. What are the biggest issues in the southwest part of the state? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with mayors from all over Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dodgeville Mayor Todd Novak, also a state assemblyman from the area, here as we look at issues in his community roughly 45 miles west of Madison with outdoor recreational assets. We haven't talked about this. Do you bike, hike, or canoe in the area? What is your impression of Dodgeville? Join in 800-642-1234. Mayor Todd Novak with us for about 9 more minutes. Mayor, you know, we've talked to so many communities, so many city leaders who are really struggling to provide housing, all different types of housing. What does that situation, the housing situation, look like for Dodgeville?
I'm in the same boat. A house goes on the market here and it's gone, and usually goes for higher than the listing price. We have a TID district, just about 3 months ago, sold 7 acres in that TID district to some developers that build apartments, and they're in the process right now of building 96 units of market rate apartments. So it's kind of a boom for the city currently.
A TID district, a tax incremental district. Can you explain how that works?
So what happens in the TID district, the Dodgeville is out of land. I would get calls all the time, does the city have any this land available, or two lots, or this or that? We didn't. So we bought 63 acres of land from a farmer next to the city of Dodgeville. And a TID district is where you put in the infrastructure and the city, you know, sells lots or whatever, and all the taxpayers in that TID district, the taxes stay there, and that pays for everything in that TID district. So the apartment complex that is going up will be 96 units to start, and by the time they're all done, it'll be a $15 million valuation. So it's kind of a big deal. So, and it's much needed. The developers did a market study here and determined there was a huge need. So,
huge need. Do you see that you'll need more of that type of housing, of multi-unit housing?
I believe so. And he has an option to buy some additional acreage to put in another 48 units, I believe. So, you know, and I think, you know, we're in the proximity of Madison. Mm-hmm. So rents are high in Madison. Rents are high in Verona. You have Mount Horeb. So we're kind of next to the line. We're kind of unique. We're probably about 35, 40 minutes from Madison and 35, 40 minutes from Dodge or from Dubuque, Iowa. So, and with four-lane surrounding us, we're a hub community. So we're seeing that growth of people moving in from the Madison area, you know, where it's 30 minutes to drive to the very far west side and work and live here. So there's a lot of that. So it's definitely needed.
Let's talk about you for a moment here. You have this unique role in Dodgeville, serving both as mayor and the representative in the state assembly. How do you balance out those two jobs?
Well, other days, I wonder. well, the mayor is a part-time job. You know, the city of Dodgeville doesn't have a city administrator. We're about the only city this size that doesn't. However, we've got some crack top staff. You know, I have a public works director that's a municipal engineer. I've got a great clerk. I've got a finance HR person. So it works. So I balance the two. It actually helps me in both jobs. To do both jobs in the assembly, I'm chairman of the local government committee. Mm-hmm. So that keeps me really connected to the League of Municipalities, Counties Association, Towns Association. So I know, you know, as far as, you know, I can speak the language of local government. But, you know, also other aspects, you know, my assembly district, you know, I go down to Monroe, almost to Richland Center. So if a business or somebody's looking to locate in Dodgeville and I don't quite have what they need here, I'll say, hey, you should check Monroe. I know that they have this land or maybe this storefront or Darlington. So I do a lot of that. I cross over because I've got connections all over the district.
That crossover probably serves the community well because, you know, certainly what Dodgeville may not have, as you mentioned, Monroe or some other community in your area might have in southwestern Wisconsin.
Yeah, it definitely does. And I, you know, my role as assemblyman, I keep in touch with those communities. And, you know, local government is my wheelhouse or forte, I should say. So, you know, I know most elected officials in every district, every municipality. So, I mean, yeah, got that great relationship so we can pass information along.
Mm-hmm. We have Todd Novak, who's been mayor of Dodgeville since 2012. As we are in conversation with mayors from all over Wisconsin, you can join in. If you live in Dodgeville, you have ideas, 800-642-1234. You worked for years as a reporter and an editor for the Dodgeville Chronicle. How important is the function of local media to smaller communities like Dodgeville?
It is very important. Yeah, I was 25 years associate editor of the Dodgeville Chronicle before I got into this. I'm not kind of sure why I got into this, but I just got a door. When a door opens, you got to kind of try to go through it. That's my philosophy. So the media is very important. I'm very fortunate. I have a assembly district that has 8 weekly newspapers. Covered by we're covered out here by 2 state papers. Wisconsin State Journal covers things out here, and so does the Telegraph out in Dubuque. Local media is very important, especially in this day and age of mergers, buyouts, and everything. So, you know, the Dodgeville Chronicle, my old paper, covers school board, county board, city council very well. I'm old school. I still think, you know, we have a more senior population out in this area. They like to read the paper versus, I think, getting their information online. So,
and so you, I think it, You sponsored legislation earlier this year to help local media, to help local newspapers stay alive. Why did you put forth that legislation?
Because I think the local media is important. You know, it's a tax credit for businesses that if they advertise on the radio, TV, or newspaper, and have under, I can't remember how much sales a year, 10 million, less than 10 million, or 10 million or less in sales, they get a $5,000 tax credit. You know, the COVID affected newspapers and the media tremendously too. Yeah, as I noted when my prior career as a newspaper, so I'm kind of the not only a local government guru in the state assembly, I'm also the newspaper guy, they call me. So I work very closely with the Wisconsin Newspaper Association. And so I think it's important.
Well, how about we land on tourism here? You're in the Driftless. You are just an absolute magnet for hikers and bicyclists and fishers. How has that been in the pandemic?
It was hard. You know, I've got Governor Dodge, which is huge. I call it the best state park in the state. I know some of my colleagues disagree with me, but it's a busy park. And, you know, you go 5 miles to the south, I got Minnow Point, which is huge for the arts community. You go to the north 10 miles, I've got Taliesin, Frank Lloyd Wright, American Players Theater, Spring Green. So Dodgeville's in the hub of it all. So tourism is huge here. And I've got the House in the Rock. And in a busy summer, pre-COVID, you know, the streets are full. You can't find a parking space. It's just a huge economic driver. And I know, talking to the park managers at Governor Dodge, I mean, in the summers, they're full. So, and those people come into town. So it's important.
Well, Mayor Novak, thank you for joining us.
It's good to be here, and thank you.
Todd Novak, mayor of Dodgeville since 2012, represents the city and its surrounding counties of Iowa and Lafayette in the assembly. Just ahead, it's our Ask a Contractor series as we head into the garage to find out solutions for common flooring problems for organization. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.